The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Wow, what's your deal, Steve? A little wound up today? Yeah, just a little. Welcome back to Snarky Fridays. I got a lot of snark going on today. So, brace yourselves, because sometimes, if you've been watching or listening to the show for a while, you know that sometimes that's like therapy. That's the only way I get through it sometimes when I'm like in that kind of a mode, that I'm just going to go all snark all the time and throw a lot of snarkiness in there while dealing with truth and reality and trying to inform not only myself but you. Let's start with something that's really funny. If maybe you saw this, if you don't follow me on Facebook, make sure you go watch the okay, fine. Hold on. I got a listener request. There's some paper rattling just for you, Carla. So maybe you noticed this on Facebook. If you're not on the radio show Facebook page, I do a lot of stuff there as well as my personal page. So go there and like the Steve Noble Show page on Facebook because there's a lot of activity there and about 9,000 comments a month. If you want to see what hate looks like, you can go do that. If you don't get enough of that in your own life, or maybe try to be a direct friend on Facebook. I'm about out of room there, but make sure you check that out on Facebook. And then we're live right here in the studio on Facebook live Monday through Friday, as well as YouTube live when they don't kick us off, which is pretty regular. But you might have noticed this video. So this group trying to get rid of Ron DeSantis as the governor in Florida puts out an ad. And it's just, to me, I'm just like, wow, are there really some people that think like this and they think this is working? I mean, if I'm going to come up with an ad as the opposition and I actually have some sick, twisted idea about making sure Ron DeSantis wins the next election, I might come up with this ad. But this ad, in order to try to go after Ron DeSantis in Florida on the issue of COVID, is kind of funny, amusing. So even on the radio, this will make sense to you, but particularly if you're on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, and you see the visuals and everything, it's even more entertaining. But I think on the radio, if all you're going to get is the audio, I think you're going to get it. Are we ready? Let's. This is so funny. All right. So this is called the Forever Purge, like Forever Purge, as in the Purge movies, which the Purge movies are based on. One night every year, they figured out in America in the movie that we're just going to suspend all laws. There is no law. It's complete lawlessness. One night, get it out of your system. So you hunker down and put gates up around your house and try to survive. That's the Purge. And then I think one of the more recent movies is the Forever Purge. So now we're just going to live like this, general anarchy, setting humankind loose on itself. Human depravity with no restriction whatsoever. So that's why they call it the Forever, as in Florida. The Forever Purge. This is really pretty funny. Okay. So, all right, let's roll it. This is just enjoy this. Okay, here you go. It's a good little gift. From me to you.
Ominous. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of your cabin crew,
flying into Florida,
we'd like to inform you that we have officially entered Florida airspace. Now that we're making our final descent, please watch this short message from Governor Ron DeSantis on COVID-19.
Everybody on the plane
thereafter
is masked.
Everyone on board will be required to comply with the state's Forever Purge.
We are not doing any vaccine passports in the state of Florida. We trust people to make their own decisions in the state. We are not going to be bludgeoning people with restrictions and mandates and lockdowns or any of that stuff.
As Governor DeSantis stated, while you're within state lines, you do not have to wear a mask. You do not have to get a vaccine. It is against the law for private businesses or schools to mandate masks or vaccines. And you have the absolute right to infect whoever you want, whenever, and wherever, with COVID-19. Thank you for traveling with us, and please, enjoy your Forever Purge.
COVID-19 is surging again.
This is the time to double down.
The governor is doubling down. He says students shouldn't be forced to wear masks.
If you are trying to lock people down, I'm going to stand in your way.
Florida just requested 300 new ventilators.
Hospitals are filling up here.
There is evidence that children are making up much higher cases that are emerging.
The numbers continue to rise across Florida.
This fall, don't breathe in.
This is insane.
The Forever Purge, coming to a theater and live streaming networks near you.
So this is actually a movie. Don't breathe in. maybe it's just me. Is it just me? I think this is hilarious. And it's so ridiculous. It's so over the top. So they're flying into Florida, and it's like you're flying into Russia or perhaps North Korea. And feel free to spread COVID to whomever you want. And all the things that make Governor DeSantis popular with conservatives and people that are not so thrilled about vaccine mandates and mask mandates, which is why he's the governor, everything that makes them thrilled about him, they're acting like it's of the devil himself. But that whole, and then that's a movie. That's not just an ad. That's a movie live streaming and coming to two or three theaters near you this fall. But it's just fear mongering. That's what it is. Fear mongering, which has been going on the whole time. Fear mongering, fear mongering, fear mongering, as opposed to, allegedly, we're supposed to be beyond the realm of faith these days. We don't believe in mysterious stuff and forces of darkness and light. We're like enlightenment plus 200 years. And so we're too smart for all that. We're just going to be based on the science. But the science on this has not been settled from day one. And so you've got contrary opinions on both sides of the issue and all kinds of studies and all kinds of information. But it's always the fear mongering. Which is this whole ad and then eventually a quote-unquote movie is nothing but fear-mongering. And it's just denies the reality. So what's going on right now, and I've got several other COVID stories, and we'll do a few other things because I OD on COVID as well. But the overall thing going on right now, because vaccines obviously are leaky, so people that get vaccinated are still getting COVID and spreading COVID. And I think, based on the science and everything I've read, the best thing that can happen is the vast majority of people get COVID and get over it and have natural immunity. Thank you, Lord. And then we can actually reach herd immunity, because you can't reach herd immunity with a vaccine. Have you figured that out yet? You cannot reach herd immunity with a vaccine because the vaccine doesn't keep people from getting it. It keeps you from getting a really bad case, and that's important. But it doesn't stop the spread. The only thing that's going to do that is natural immunity. Thank you, Lord. So we'll go to a couple other things there and a couple other wild stories here on Snarky Friday, Crazy, Crazy World. We'll be right back. Special request, paper rattling on a Snarky Friday. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I hope you enjoyed that soon to come movie this fall sometime about Ron DeSantis in Florida, basically running, I don't know, Nazi concentration camp. I don't know, that's the way it sounded. It's just ridiculous. So much fear-mongering. And, all right, another. Just a disclaimer. I believe that COVID is real. I believe that certain people, COVID is deadly. And there is a really scary thing about COVID. For some people that have no comorbidities and aren't old, there's no reason. There's no logical reason. But they get super sick and some have died. So there's this haphazardness to COVID, which I happen to think is because it was gain of function research. So mankind monkeyed with it and made it even more dangerous. That's what I think. But you just have to deal with reality. So yes, COVID is real. Yes, it's deadly. Yes, it has a haphazard kind of randomness to it. But do you make policy based on that? Because 73% of all COVID deaths in a year and a half are in the 70 and above age range. 73%. So if that's your bell curve, you got a hockey stick bell curve, where do you focus your efforts? Who's most vulnerable, right? That's what you do. You bring a knife fight to a knife fight. You bring a knife to a knife fight. We brought an atom bomb to a knife fight, which is why you have somebody like Governor Newsom, who survived his recall election. Governor Newsom announces California will be the first state to require COVID vaccinations for K-12 students. To which I say, why? Why do you need to vaccinate K-12 students? Okay, so I was on the break on Facebook Live during the commercial break. So if you want to join us there, you just got to jump over to Facebook Live, the Steve Noble Show. And you go, okay, there's how many kids, 18 and under, have died from COVID in a year and a half? That answer is 412. Okay, 412. That's 412 tragedies. Okay, if your heart doesn't ache over 412 children that have died from COVID, 18 and under, you don't have a heart. Okay, so that's a problem. So, but that's about out of about 74 million people. So let's bump up the age range a little bit. Let's go newborn to 22 years of age. That's 91 million people. And you're still only about 12 or 1300 deaths out of 91 million people. So you got a 0.000012 chance of dying if you're 22 and under from COVID. That equates to a 1 in 83,000 chance of death. 1 in 83,000 chance of death. Okay? In your lifetime, you have a 1 in 107 chance of dying in a car accident. Did you know that? That's serious. So drive safely out there, everybody. You have a 1 in 289 chance of dying in a gun assault. You have a 1 in 543 chance of dying in a pedestrian incident, get hit by a car. You have a 1 in 899 chance of dying as a motorcyclist. You have a 1 in 1,128 chance of dying by drowning. You have a 1 in 1,547 chance of dying by fire or smoke inhalation. You have a 1 in 8,248 chance of dying by sunstroke. Or a 1 in 58,669 chance of dying from a cataclysmic storm, hurricane, tornado. But you have a 1 in 83,000 chance of dying by COVID if you're 22 or under. So why in the world would Gavin Newsom or anybody, if you're going to follow the science and look at the numbers, why would you turn around and inject by force of law all kids kindergarten through 12th grade in order for them to go to school? For what? You don't do that. And this is a newer vaccine, which we don't know the long-term effects on young people, women, older people, middle-aged people, people with different comorbidities. We don't know that because it's only been in arms for about 15 months now. You can't argue with me on that, by the way. And I'm not saying I'm Joe anti-vax because I'm not. What I'm saying is this vaccine's only been in arms for about 16 months. So that's all the data we have. We don't know what happens 5 years down the road because we haven't gone 5 years down the road. We've only gone about 16 months down the road. Does that make sense? I hope so. So California Governor Gavin Newsom announced on Friday that the Golden State would be the first state in America to require COVID-19 vaccinations for K-12 students. Total virtue signaling and science deniers. That's what that is. The current plan would require students older than 12 years old to receive the coronavirus vaccine. Here's my fear, everybody. In 4 or 5 years, we find out there's significant problems with this vaccine. And while we're running around virtue signaling, saying you're loving your neighbor well by trying to intimidate them into getting the vaccine, you're actually, to a certain extent, probably putting them in more harm. I hope I'm not right, but maybe you're putting them in more harm than COVID itself, especially if they're 22 and under. Because they got a better chance of dying in a car accident or a motorcycle accident or a pedestrian accident. So, Governor Newsom, why do we allow kids to get on cars or they can't walk to school? So what they really need to do is just teach them all at home. We just need to go 100% online and keep all our kids safe. If you love the children, that's what you'll do. It's maddening. It's maddening. But that's the spirit of the age. Okay, it is. Here's some good news. I was excited about this. Merck. Okay, I'm excited about Merck here. Merck pill intended to be COVID-19's Tamiflu succeeds in a key study. That's good news. The pill cut the risk of hospitalization or death in study subjects with mild to moderate COVID-19 by about 50%, the company said on Friday, today. The drug called Molnupiravir, what's with all the Vs, was performing so well in its late-stage trial that Merck and Ridgeback, the other producer, said they stopped enrolling subjects after discussions with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. The results put Molnupiravir, whatever, on track to potentially be authorized by the end of the year and to finally provide an option for doctors who have spent the pandemic seeking a drug that infected people could easily take at home to prevent them from becoming hospitalized. There are some out there. You'll hear about that on Monday with our good friend David Fisher, who almost died from COVID recently. But he found a doctor through some friends and through somebody that's a listener in the show that went outside the government protocol and probably saved his life. We'll talk about that on Monday. Merck plans to ask the FDA to authorize the drug's use in the coming weeks. I think this is great. Molnupiravir would become a kind of Tamiflu for COVID-19, a medication that can be dispensed to patients when they first develop symptoms, slowing the spread of the virus in the body and potentially preventing people from becoming seriously ill. Thank you, Lord. I think that's great. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. And so that's why I wanted to share that with you. On the other side of that, if you're reading and studying, which I know is almost preposterous to propose at this point, that you would see that one of the things that's going on is this, you know, this pesky little thing called natural immunity. If you've gotten it and gotten over it, and actually if you had a worse case of it, you're going to have a better antibody response, better resistance in the future. And that's the only way you're going to get to herd immunity, because the vaccine, interestingly enough, the vaccine doesn't keep you from getting it. It's helping to keep you from getting really ill, and it helps to keep you from dying. Praise the Lord. Again, but we only know long-term effects to the tune of about 16 months. That's the asterisk on all this stuff for me. That's where I'm coming from. I'm sitting in front of the mic, so that's what I share with you. Okay. So that's the only way you're going to stop COVID in terms of its spread is natural immunity, because the vaccine doesn't stop it. And vaccinated people carry it. And they're, if you see some of this phraseology, they're leaky, like a leaky faucet, leaky, meaning they can get it, carry it, dispense it, spread it. So just because somebody's vaccinated, you think, oh, they're safe to be around. No, they're not. It's safer for them, it sure looks like. And I'm grateful for that. Asterisk, but we don't know what the vaccine's going to do to people 3 or 4 or 5 or 8 years down the road. But it's not going to stop COVID from spreading. So we need more people to get COVID, survive it, have antibodies, and then eventually we can get to herd immunity. But Dr. Fauci doesn't agree with that, but he got totally hammered by Hugh Hewitt on live radio the other day. I'm going to take you through that story when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Hey, Josh, can you bring me that, bring me the mouse, please? There's a comment on the screen that I want to be able to see better. So bring me the mouse. I'll check that out. Marion, I see what you're saying. I got to look at it. Okay, then I'll respond to that. We're working our way through a bunch of crazy stories today, unfortunately. And I'm trying to be respectful. I try to deal with facts. But, you know, I can be kind of snarky. So set that aside. If you just started listening, if you just discovered the show recently, you're like, wow, I don't like Steve's attitude. This doesn't happen all the time. Get to know me better than that. Spend some time. Listen for a couple of weeks, and you'll get to know my heart. My heart isn't to be degrading. My heart isn't to mock people. My heart is for the truth, and that's been a very difficult and moving target in this last 18 months of dealing with COVID stuff. And so I bring up a lot of different contrary opinions and contrary information, because I want you to have more information, not less information. And you're only getting a certain perspective from the left, from the mainstream media, and from the government. But do you trust all of them? I don't. Last year, crazy year, right? One of the biggest questions, the most common questions I got last year was, hey, Steve, where do you go to get your news? Like, what do you trust? I'm like, I don't trust any of it. That's why I look at a ton of it. And then prayer and wisdom and discernment and age and experience and knowledge. And then I'm like, okay, all right. So here's some, let's be logical here. Let's be critical thinkers when I know I'm not being told everything. So now you got to look at all kinds of stuff and then discern your way through it. Please, Lord, give us wisdom and discernment, because boy, do we need it. Let me just finish up the conversation about what they're doing out in California. Newsom wants to make it, you can't go to school unless you're vaccinated. Okay, this is a vaccine that's only been in arms, testing, and now distribution for about 15, 16 months at the most. That's all we have. That's all the long-term data we have, all right? Most of the time when vaccines come out in widespread distribution, we have 4 years, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years. In this case, we have about 16 months of actual, quote-unquote, long-term impact of the vaccine. Well, we think it's safe. We know. We believe it's going to be safe. We don't think this is going to be a problem. Yeah, but you don't have any more data than 16 months. And no, you can't argue that. That's just reality. Okay? That's just the truth. So they want to force vax kids with COVID. All right, mumps, measles, things that actually were at the time deadly. Okay. I understand that, but COVID isn't deadly to kids. They don't get it. They don't spread it. I mean, they get it. They get over it. They get antibodies. They don't get seriously ill. Most of them, the overwhelming majority, statistically zero, although some have died, but statistically, it's negligible. You can't make policy based on that, but that's what Newsom's doing, and you're going to see that grow all over the place, even though the science doesn't agree with it. So we say follow the science. No, 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 no. Put the word political in front of it. You're okay. So I'll do this and I'll move on. Four years of age, okay? This is a chart from CDC data starting on January 1st, 2020 to September 11th, 2021, okay? Four-year-olds in America. Do you know how many there are off the top of your head? Probably not. I'll tell you. 4,043,323. That's a lot of four-year-olds, okay? God bless all you parents. Out of that 4,043,323, 13 tragically have died with COVID. We can't definitively say of COVID. We can say with COVID. So even that has an asterisk next to it. So I look at that and I go, that's tragic. 13, God help all those people. But 13 out of 4 million amounts to 0.32 kids per 100,000 died with COVID. And that does not make a national policy. That does not make a national threat. That does not make a national fear campaign. But that's what we have. Right? Why? Why are we doing that? Well, there's the spirit of the age. There's lying, stealing, cheating, killing Satan himself. There's political power. There's political advantage. And fear just is in the air. Because the vast majority of Americans are not Christians. The vast majority. So fear is going to have its way with a whole lot of people, sad to say. But you can't make policy based on that stuff. But that doesn't matter anymore. And by the way, if you know Jesus, okay, if you're a Christian, because all your faith is in Jesus, the Bible would say you've been born again, if that's true of you. You believe he is who he said he was. You believe born of the virgin, died on a cross, rose from the dead 3 days later, and it's through his atonement that you can be forgiven. Nothing you bring to the table. You can't work your way out of your problem, separation from God because of your sin. The only answer you have, the only way, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6, is through Jesus Christ. If that's you, then the Bible would say, yeah, you're a Christian. Yep. Okay. And if you are, don't lose your minds over all this stuff. Even if you've had a tough season with parents or siblings or whatever because of COVID, if you're in Christ, tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of our eternal experience is this. So don't give it any more than it should have, okay? Don't sell your joy down the river for a bowl of stew. All right, Fauci. I wish I had heard this. Dr. Fauci was on with Hugh Hewitt. Now, I give Fauci some points for going on. He knows that's going to be a difficult interview. And Hugh Hewitt, who is vaccinated himself, okay? So Dr. Anthony Fauci faced a tough grilling from Hugh Hewitt just the other day. During Wednesday's appearance, Fauci was confronted by a list of COVID-era controversies, including the pause of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, the ivermectin debate, the avoidance of natural immunity, as well as his quote-unquote noble lie discouraging Americans from wearing masks in the early months of the pandemic to prevent an N95 shortage. Quote, I have lost confidence in the CDC and the FDA, and I actually believe a lot of Americans, a significant part of America now, have lost confidence in you, Dr. Fauci, Hewitt began. Friendly beginning, huh? Is there a point where you will say, I do more harm than good because people don't listen to me anymore and step aside? Fauci. No, absolutely, unequivocally no, Hugh. Sorry. This guy's 80. He's been working for the government since Jesus ascended back into heaven. This is so arrogant. Arrogant. Fauci reacted. When you have an evolving situation and data are rapidly evolving in something that is as unprecedented and unknown, you have to evolve with it and look at the data as it exists now and make the best of your ability, a decision, a recommendation, all the kinds of things that go into that evolution. I'm like, it sounds like you're just figuring it out as you go along. Now, some of that is true, but hey, Mr. Fauci, Doc, you've been the man for 40 years. I'd like to think your extrapolation would be a little more accurate than it has been. Following Fauci's meandering answer, Hewitt persisted with his intense line of questioning. By first acknowledging it, quote-unquote, understands why Fauci lied about the mask, but also calling it bad policy. Quote, it's just a fact that Tony Fauci, not the guy I'm talking with, but Tony Fauci, the person in people's minds, is now an impediment to public health because people won't listen to you, Hewitt said. They actively reject what Tony Fauci says for reasons which are complicated. But can you accept that if that's just the fact, you ought to respond to it and say, Mr. President, I think my time is up as a successful and effective spokesperson. You know, with all due respect, I just completely disagree with that premise because, this is Fauci, there are an awful lot of people who do listen, who do the right thing from a public health standpoint, Fauci responded. So because there are a lot of people who have ideas of conspiracies, always that. If you don't agree, you're a conspiracy theorist. Conspiracies and changing minds with flip-flopping, that's not a reason to step down. Not at all. So the idea that people right now are not listening to what I'm saying is the truth, Fauci said. I actually agree, Hewitt interjected. I got the booster. I'm Mr. Vaccine. I get the same kind of heat that you do. And what I'm saying, though, is there comes a point where it is simply a matter of fact that Tony Fauci in the era of social media is different than Tony Fauci of the beginning of the HIV crisis. And if a new face for the program developed, we would see an increase in vaccines and an increase in booster use. I don't agree with that, by the way. So if that data is presented to you and the more people would get vaccinated, if you left the scene, would you leave the scene? Fauci, chuckling. Are you kidding me, Hugh? I'm trying to explain to you the truth, Hewitt shot back. I got vaccinated because of you, but there's a large segment of the American people that doesn't trust you now, and that can't be undone. So I want you to be able to speak to them. I know your heart. I know your public service. But if you're an obstacle to getting vaccination rates up, should you step aside? So people are saying, I'm not getting the vaccine because Dr. Fauci is in the government? Are you kidding me? Fauci mocked. No, actually, I believe that's the truth, Dr. Hewitt told Fauci. You're not hearing me, doctor. You're not hearing me. I'm saying people see you coming on and they turn off the channel because they don't like you. Whereas if a new face arrives, a new younger face, if a new person shows up, I think it'd be more effective. Fauci repeatedly dismissed Hewitt's inquiries, pointing to a new young faces like CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky. Yeah, that's going well. And U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy, also not going well, saying the exact same thing as he is, and people are not getting, still not getting vaccinated. Well, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, and the U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy haven't been in the driver's seat since February of last year. You have. Dr. Fauci, you are the man, to quote somebody in the Bible. You are the man. You're the number one guy. You're numero uno. You're the head honcho. You're the big man on campus. The buck really does stop with you, Dr. Fauci. And if there's a lot of people that aren't listening to the government anymore because of you, I think it would be magnanimous in that position to go, okay, I'm not doing as much good as I am bad. I'm going to step down. But when you're totally consumed with your power, and your pride is that big, and you're the man, and you've been playing Simon Says for the last 18 months, and you can get a whole nation to move left when you say left and right when you say right, that's got to be intoxicating and hard to deal with. Holy cow. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Is it wrong for a Christian to say TGIF? Is that? You know what TGIF is, right? They turn it into a food chain. Thank God it's Friday. Why do we say that? Because we have a bad theology of work. So you go to work Monday through Friday. How many of you work Monday through Friday? Put your hands up. You work Monday through Friday. Sinners, repent. Because the Lord said that you should work 6 days, you labor and do all your work. And on the seventh day, you rest. But we say TGIF because we have a bad theology of work. And so we can't wait to get away from something that's actually a part of bearing the image of God. See my point? But I digress. All right. Let's keep going. On the, I got two other stories I want to get to here. So I want to get through this. Our buddy Steve Dace, he'll be back on the show soon because they added an extra chapter to the Faucian bargain. So he just emailed me that. So I got to read it over the weekend. And we'll get Steve Dace from The Blaze back on the show soon. He's one of my favorite guests. Absolutely brilliant. But he put something out on The Blaze today, which started with the line, it's a quote, I am the Senate. Now, if you know what that's from, if you know what world that's from, if you know what movie series that's from, God bless you. I am the Senate. That was Emperor Palpatine. Okay. I'll get to that. So the masks have come off the leftist cult that intends to make believers of us all. This is a pretty frightening. He's very strong in his language. But there's some things in here I want to go through. OK, then I want to get to these two stories. The comptroller of the economy, Biden's nominee to regulate banks, really, really hates banks. This is Saleh Omarova that he nominated to be the controller of the currency. The Cornell University Law School professor's radical ideas might make even Bernie Sanders blush. She graduated from Moscow State University in 1989. You can't make this up. On the Lenin Personal Academic Scholarship. She'll fit right in here. 30 years later, she still believes the Soviet economic system was superior. So I'm going to get to that. And then what Arizona audit really shows and why election officials should be embarrassed. I don't want to leave that out. So let me just do the Steve Dace thing here real quick. I am the Senate. Emperor Palpatine. The alter ego of Darth Sidious famously said that at this point, his long con was nearly complete. He had marched his way through the institutions of the Galactic Republic and manufactured the series of crises necessary to make his final play in the name of converting democracy into the tyranny of his Sith dreams. But as evil as he was never completely open about his motivations or intentions to the people at large. The masses needed to be tricked, lest they turn into a mob he couldn't control before he had a super weapon to blast them into oblivion. That would be the Death Star. That's just Hollywood, though, where the public at large is assumed to have some fundamental principles they will fight for. Wouldn't that be nice? Because in real life, you actually get to preach a cultish religion of power and conquest straight to the faces of a people born in the spirit of the Declaration of Independence, and too many of them will gladly accept your terms. How else can I possibly interpret the fact that Andrew Cuomo's replacement governor, remember we played this the other day when she was at a Catholic church, right? When she was, what she was saying, this is what Dace is talking about. Kathy Hochul, whatever it is, are you sure it isn't Karen Hochul, hasn't already been tarred and feathered by her fellow New Yorkers for treating them like a bunch of simps with zero memory of their recent past? Quote, I prayed a lot to God. We played this clip the other day. I prayed a lot to God during this time. And you know what? God did answer our prayers, she said while standing behind a church pulpit. He made the smartest men and women, the scientists, the doctors, the researchers, he made them come up with a vaccine. That is from God to us, and we must say, thank you, God, thank you. And then the kicker. I need you, she's talking to the Catholic Church, I need you to be my apostles. Now, that seems to be the exact same kind of talk that convinced 20 or we'll call them pilots in training to move to America and subsequently fly planes loaded with innocent Americans into the Twin Towers right there in New York. Heck, we even just got done celebrating the 20th anniversary of that terrible day, and yet your governor gets to say that to you without even a hint of deja vu? Wow. This is Steve Dace writing. I'm old enough to remember when the mere image of President Trump standing in front of a vandalized Washington, D.C. church while holding a Bible sent separation of church and state types into an Antifa-induced frenzy. Perhaps it never was about keeping religion out of politics, but only waiting until politics could become the religion itself. Yes. There you go, Steve. That's exactly right. If you got to get rid of God, but you still need a God because you're made in his image, so you're going to replace that God. You're going to suppress the truth, the actual truth, and replace it with a lie. And for a lot of people, God is the government, right? That's where I go to find my peace and security, to find my worth. That's who I pray to. That's who I serve, the government. And the government's more than happy to play God. To complete that act, Steve writes, requires a level of existential surrender by we, the people. Hochul has clearly come to rely upon from New Yorkers, every bit as much as the sun rising in the east. For example, she's quote-unquote Catholic and bragged as much during her inauguration. Yet, Planned Parenthood baby butchers love her. Not shocking, I know, but that really is the entire point. People will say and do increasingly bizarre and crazy things in the name of self-fulfillment and power if reality never comes around to set things right. And if true religion doesn't do that time and time and time again, even when the murder of innocents and denying the existence of two genders becomes commonplace, well, then you can expect the cult to get real and spectacular really fast. Romans 1, anyone? I'm not going to share the rest of it with you because it's a little over the top in terms of being on Christian radio. But Romans 1, suppress the truth, replace it with a lie. Yep. I need you to be my apostles? That's cultish kind of language, right? Scary. All right, comptroller of the economy. This is from the Wall Street Journal. This is just too much. President Biden checked off another progressive identity box last week by nominating Saleh Omarova as comptroller of the currency. The Cornell University Law School, which I was just saying, radical ideas might make even Bernie Sanders blush. He graduated from Moscow State University in 1989 on the prestigious Lenin Personal Academic Scholarship. This is not the Babylon Bee, by the way. This is the Wall Street Journal. 30 years later, she still believes the Soviet economic system was superior and that the U.S. banking should be remade in the Gosbank's image. That's the Russian bank. Until I came to the U.S., she said, I couldn't imagine that things like gender pay gap still existed in the world today. Say what you will about the old USSR, there was no gender pay gap there. Market doesn't always know best, she tweeted in 2019. After Twitter users criticized her ignorance, she added a caveat. I never claimed women and men were treated absolutely equal in every facet of Soviet life, but people's salaries were set by the state in a gender-blind manner. And all women got very generous maternity benefits. Both things are still a pipe dream in our society, talking about America. Sure, there was the gulag and no private property, but they did have great maternity benefits. See how ridiculous this is? Then it goes on to talk about she's just against all these different things. In a recent paper, The People's Ledger, she proposed that the Federal Bank Reserve take over consumer bank deposits, effectively end banking as we know it, she said, and become the ultimate public platform for generating, modulating, and allocating financial resources in a modern economy. Wow! Nice, comrade. Ms. Omarova believes capital and credit should be directed by an unaccountable bureaucracy and intelligentsia. She has recommended a national investment authority with members overseen by an advisory board of, wait for it, academics to finance a big and bold climate agenda. What? Sounds like the Green Infrastructure Bank the Senate rejected. Wow. Why would Joe Biden nominate somebody that's clearly a communist sympathizer who hates the capitalist system? What is that all about? Hey, Mr. President, why did you nominate her? I think his actual answer would be, nominate who? I don't know what you're talking about. I know that sounds like I'm mocking, but I'm not. I actually think that's what's going on. It's kind of like Bernie. It's kind of like Weekend at Bernie's. It's really sad to me. And I think it's in some ways it's abusive. He needs help not to be the president of the United States. The Arizona audit. Okay, this is a really good point. Then we'll be done. So critics of the forensic audit of Maricopa County, Arizona, including local election officials and many reporters who are crowing that the audit confirms that President Joe Biden won the election in Arizona, either don't understand the purpose of an audit or are trying to deliberately obscure the most worrying findings in the audit. So it comes out, right? And they say, oh, well, Biden still won. Recounts almost always only show slight differences from the original ballot tabulation. The fact that the hand recount in Maricopa County matched the machine recount simply means that the computer scanners used to scan the tabulate paper ballots were working properly. However, this is the key to this article, okay? However, the key point all of the critics of this audit are missing is that a recount simply recounts the ballots that were cast. A recount does not investigate, examine, or review, wait for it, the legitimacy of those ballots. A recount does not verify or check whether ballots were cast by registered voters who are actually deceased, who did not actually live where they claim to live, who cast multiple votes because they are registered more than once, or who are not entitled to vote even though they are registered because they are not U.S. citizens or are felons who have not yet had their right to vote restored. Volume 3 of the Maricopa audit lists some disturbing findings. That includes 23,344 mail-in ballots voted from a prior address. That requires some investigation. 9,041 more ballots returned by voters than received. That's a problem. 5,295 voters that potentially voted in multiple counties. Also a problem. 2,592 more duplicates than original ballots. And 2,382 in-person voters who had moved out of Maricopa County. All of that adds up to trouble. And all of that was more than enough to overturn that particular election in that Maricopa County. Numerous other problems are listed, such as voters whose ballots were counted despite the fact that they registered to vote after the state deadline. So there's all kinds of problems there. So they looked at the end result, which is, hey, the votes we counted equal the votes that were turned in. Okay, fine. Who cares? The question is, and he does a great job in this, Hans von Spakovsky, not a Russian, he does a great job of pointing out the fact that they're not dealing with the validity of the votes in the first place. That's where the problem is. Are we ever going to get there? Are we ever going to clean that up? I don't think so. I think we live on the Titanic, and it's going to go down. Eschatologically, we know things are going to go down. So I sure hope your faith and your house is built on the rock of Jesus Christ, because if it's built on the state of this nation, you're in trouble, friends. You're in trouble. I'm not, because I have heaven as my future. I hope you do as well. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.